Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Boss who he works for can force him that he's living with a wife, can give him an Ebed Kanani. Normally a Yid is not allowed to marry a Shifcha Kananis. She's a guy, he's a Yid, they can't be married. In Eved Ivri, his Adain can force him to live with a Shifcha Kananis. Amazingly, he's allowed to live with her. He has to live with her. And the children belong to the Adain. So he has a real wife back at home. Remember, if he was single, the Adain, it's counterintuitive. If he's single, the Adain cannot give him a wife. In Begapa Yava, if he's coming single, Begapa Yetzei, the Adain cannot give him a wife. But if he's a married man, the Adain can force him to take on another wife, a Shifcha Kananis. Why would the Adain do that? Why does he want his Eved to have? Because he wants the children. He gets the children have the halacha of an Eved Kanani, and the children go to the Adain. So you have this Eved Ivri, his Adain can force him to live with a Shifcha Kananis. Now, if everybody could look at the words in Pasuk Dalet, if his master gives him a wife, and their kids, boys or girls, the wife and her children belong to the master. He leaves alone. The kids are not Yidden. They're an Eved Kanani. And he, after 6 years, a guy in Eved Ivri only works for 6 years. After 6 years, he books, sayonara. He goes back to being a Yid. And his wife and the children, his children, do not belong to him. They go to the Adan. She was a Shifcha Kananis. She's only married to him remarkably while he's an Eved. He's done being an Eved. His wife stays by the Adan. She's a Shifcha Kananis. His children he had, his children, quote unquote, they stay. V'im Amar Yoimar HaEved, look at Pasuk Hei. If this Eved says, Ahavti es Adaini, I love my master. As Ishti, I love my children. As Bunai, I love my kids. Le'etze Chavshi, I don't want to leave. He throws a tantrum. I don't want to leave. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my kids. I don't want to leave this new wife of mine. I don't want to leave these new kids. The Gisha Adonai Elohim, the master brings him to Bezdin. Elohim here means Bezdin. The Gisha Ladelis, and Bezdin puts him by the door. Ayla Mezuzah, the door post. The Ratz Adonai Azda Marzeya, we drill his ear with a drill. Vavadai La'ilam, and he serves till Yoifel. Very fascinating sugya, where the guy says, I love my wife, I love my master, I love my kids, I don't want to leave. We drill his ear. We drill his ear representing that this is wrong what he's doing. The ear that hurt, you're supposed to be a master, Hashem is supposed to be a master, and he stays for 50 years. He stays till Yovel. Then at Yovel, he has no choice, he leaves. Now. I want to talk about a few things, and I want to try to figure stuff out. I am not coming in with a sep shat, Trevor. I'm coming in with like questions and fascinations. It's always interesting in the Torah when Hashem doesn't like something but lets something. I'll tell you, give me an example of something Hashem doesn't like but you're allowed to do. That's very good. Excellent. Kiseitzei, a guy is allowed to have this lady. Hashem doesn't want him to marry, but he's allowed under certain conditions. Very good, Mashal. A guy Ladam is good Mashal at Daniel. I would say a get is a good Mashal of that. It's Hashem cries, but you're allowed to give a get. They're interesting, and you have to study each one. There's no, Hashem is saying something. Here is fascinating. He's not supposed to stay in Eved. And yet he sort of can. His ear gets drilled and he gets, so don't let him. No, he's allowed to. Very interesting. I'm not answering that. Maybe what I'm saying is going to answer that. I'm going to try to give an approach. It's very interesting. He's not let it do. He's not supposed to do this. He gets drilled. But if he does this, he stays in Evitul Yovel. Now, what I want to say is as follows, Abi. When I hear this guy speak, he says incredible words. He says, I love my Adain. I love my wife and I love my kids. I want to say that this guy is like the dream guy in the world. The dream of the world is to love your Adain, Abbas Hashem, is to love your wife, love your children. You're talking about the biggest giver, Ben Adam Lamak Ram L'Chaveirei, like the spitz guy in the world. Now, what's not lost on me is he has it all wrong. He loves his Adain, but his Adain doesn't refer to Hashem. His Adain refers to the boss who had him 7 years. He loves his wife, but it's so frustrating. It's the wrong wife. He has a real wife. This was a wife given to him that's quasi his. He's supposed to go home and it's like, oh, he loves his children. These are not his real kids. When he leaves, they stay there. So I want to like study. So either the younger version of me would have said, hey, the guy like such a crooked fellow. What a stupid guy. The younger version of me, I wasn't negative. I learned to turn. I wasn't as careful as I try to be now. The younger version of me would have accepted like a schmooze just making fun of this guy. This guy, you see, it's a good musser. He has the wrong adain. I want to share something that's deeper, I think more true, because I have a lot of questions here. I want to say as follows. To me, it's pashut that this was supposed to be the experience of being an Eved. This guy, remember, usually an Eved, it's a machloikas in the Gemara, but an Eved Ivri, at least, according to many, an Eved Ivri is somebody who stole and didn't have money to pay back, and therefore has to get sold as an Eved. There's a guy who needs rehabilitation. And at the end of his avdus, he says, I love my Adain. His experience, he's well treated. There are laws about an Eved Ivri. You're mechoyev to take tremendous care of your Eved Ivri. Crazy. See, he walks out, I really like my Adain. And he really likes his wife and children. Remember, under those circumstances of how he's treated, I have this pet thing. I have this thing. I've seen this in yeshivas and I've seen this in companies. In company where the boss beats up the guy under him beats up the guy, and everybody beats each other up. I have seen in environments that kids fight and it's all from the parents. If I've seen it, rebbeim, if people are not treated nicely, I've seen yeshivas where kids fight and it's all, they're not respected and it's just, it goes down. That's the system. I know of a place, of a school, where the head of school was always begging the guys to get along, and he was rough on the guys. And it was clear his mistreatment of guys caused the guys to mistreat each other. It was a trickle-down effect. And I've seen a lot of this type of behavior. The what causes in an environment people to get along, if there's respect and people are treated with respect, that's what trickles down into the environment. That's what typically happens in environments. And this guy's in an environment where his Adin has chiyuvim to be incredibly worn to him. And under such circumstance, I love my master. And as such, his wife, quote and quote, he likes as well. Remember, this is all, his Adin's in charge of him. His Adin puts under him, chain of command, the lady, Ashifakananis, gives him as a spouse of sorts. And of course, he receives loves and he gives love. And he says, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. Now, what I want is, to me, it seems obvious that this was supposed to happen in his process of being an Eved. And what's supposed to happen to this young man who comes in as a wild person who perhaps steals, or as a person who's down and out at the very least, is from his Avdus experience, he loves his master. He loves his wife-ish, his children-ish, they're sort of wife and children, quasi. And to me, it's pashut that the experience was supposed to cause that. And what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to move on to his real adayin. In liking this adayin, he's right there. Now move on to your real adayin. In liking this wife, now bring that home with you and be good to your real wife. In liking your children, now bring that home to your real children. Let's go. You've been rehabilitated. You're at a better place. Bring it home. And the guy ends up saying, I'm not going free. The problem's not I love my master. It was set up that he should love his master. Hashem made halachos. The problem was not the word. It's such a good thing. I could picture this guy loving his adayin, saying, I have an adayin, Hashem. And who was mitzaveh? Who commanded my adayin to treat me this way? He likes his wife. This guy is the first to just say, let me go home to my real wife and let's go. I like my wife. I've learned how one should be treated and one should treat. Bring it home. As banai, bring it home. The key words are le'etzei chafshi. I'm not moving forward. Now, why Hashem lets this, I don't know. Does he need more rehabilitation, such a guy? I don't understand. So why does Hashem allow this? I don't have an answer to it. I ask guys, maybe over Shabbos, you'll tell me. I don't know why Hashem lets this, so just make him leave. But what I want to say about this guy, instead of the younger version of me, says he's such a confused fellow, what I started chapping more be'iyun, and I think I'm right, Yehuda, is he was brought here by Hashem. I don't laugh at this guy. When this guy says, I love my master, my wife and kids, what a beautiful person. The dream is to say this. Now let's go. Like, you're right there. This guy is on the cusp of everything. I love my wife. This is excellent. I love my adayin. He's like right there, but he doesn't go weiter. Le'etzei chafshi, I won't go free. I have seen people in trauma and difficulties like learn such good things, but they don't bring it with them. Like in your difficulty, you learned incredible stuff. I told the chevron, if this sushtel is like not exact, my wife and I went on a Shabbos of amazing families of people who have a child off the derech. And I want to say a lot of, it was a very deep and powerful Shabbos. And my wife and I felt people were talking about their wants for Hashem. There was a lot of pain. I walked out of the Shabbos and with the sense of wanting to serve Hashem better and wanting to be better as a parent to bring my kids into the service of Hashem. It was interesting, the pain of not having something brought us somewhere. And then you could live with that thing or get stuck there. It's interesting, this guy's in Eved and walks out of difficult years saying, I love my master. That's beautiful. Now let's, like go someplace with that. Do some, le'etzei chafshi, I'm not leaving. He's stuck in the trauma, not like there was something to do. I don't know why Hashem lets him stay there. But he's stuck in his difficult situation taught him something. And it's so obvious to me, it seems obvious to me, and somebody could argue on me, that he was an eved to say those words. It's so cool. After his avdus, the guy says, I love my master. I think that's an incredible thing to say those words. It's a dream to say, I love my master. So this is a guy, usually people say, I have no master, refuse to accept a master. This guy says, I love my master. He's in love with his master, and there's so many places to go. There's one great place to go with that, is to discover your Adayin Koil, the master of all, who, by the way, is where your master got his kindness. That was who was mitzavah, your master, to be so kind. I love my wife. Excellent. In that type of adnos, in that type of boss, under that environment, you learn you were loved and you could have the capacity to love. I love my children. Bring it home. I'm not leaving. I'm staying right there. Oh. brutal. Now, why he's let Dovi, I can't figure it out. There are reasons, Hashem, does he need more rehabilitation? I don't understand it. We drill him? I don't know. Like, but the Le'etze Chafshi is the guy who, in his experiences, that he discovered real things amidst his galus, amidst his difficulty. The guy who wants to just stay in the galus. Le'etze Chafshi, I'm not leaving here. I like what I've learned. So take what you learned, move with what you learned, travel with what you learned, bring forward what Le'etze Chafshi, I'm not leaving. I'm just going to stay in this bubble, and I'm not bringing it forward. Le'etze Chafshi, I'm staying there. Take what you've learned and bring it forward. Now, I want to say something to the Chevra, and I'm trying to study this parasha. I have seen people in all different matzavim learn something, and I have seen many versions of Le'etze Chafshi, I won't go free. There's many times, bring it forward. Bring forward what you acquired. Bring it into your life. I'm saying this is not an agenda. We're thinking about Eretz Yisrael, and it's hard to leave yeshiva often. And in our life, we're always pushed forward, and the goal is to take what you learned and bring it with, expand it, extend it, bring it into your life. There are always times people learn and they say, Le'etze Chafshi, I won't go free, I just want to stick here. So this whole parsha, to me, it's Pashat that his experience is designed to teach him this. Much different than I thought, Aaron. When I hear this guy say, he's like a parody. He's like a, he's such a, in a way you could say, he's such a sorry guy. He says, I love my master. This couldn't have been an accident that the guy says, I love my master, my wife, and my kids. It's so ironic. It's ironic because he's punished that he has a different master he's supposed to love. It's ironic because he has they're not his real, the pasuk before said they're not really his wife and kids. That's not his real wife and kids. He has a marriage at home who's his real wife. And this guy like walks out, I love my master, my wife, and my kids. So the pshat I used to learn is like a warped individual. This is like the, but it made me have questions. This is almost normal. What are we, Hashem was trying to like trick him? He becomes an Eved, and he's an Eved who's well-treated. He's likely to say, I love my master. He gets a wife, and he's well-treated, him and his wife. It's likely he's going to, it's a beautiful work environment. Of course he's going to be good to his wife and kids. They're his charges. And it's set up to come out like this. So God, like, set up this guy. Hashem doesn't try to get us. This guy was had. I love my wife, my master, my wife and children. Excellent! That was the dream. And it was set up it should be such. He has his wrong master. So the younger version of me just made fun of this guy. And somehow, like, he was like tricked. It can't be. What I'm convinced, Bensi, is he was put in a matzav that should be I love my master. It should be I love my wife and kids. And then go free. And then bring it with you. You went through a situation that brought this out. Live with it now. Take it, expand it, run with it. Le'etze Chafshi, I want to stay right here. Take it, run with it, bring it, spread it. Bring it to your real wife and kids. You did good. You were made. You loved your other, and it's wonderful. Now go to your supreme other. Like you've gotten places. Le'etze Chafshi. I'm not leaving. Here I will stay. At this place I'll stay. That's the tragedy of this fellow. Le'etze Chafshi. I refuse to go free. Now why Hashem lets him stay? I don't know. Somebody wants to offer a pshat. Does he need more rehabilitation? What? It's so interesting that Hashem lets us stay in our pretend. Is that like Bederach Shadam writes to Lelech? What do you say, Daniel? I have two versions. It's an Einesh that he stays there. If you want to live, pretend Hashem lets you. Or Tzviki needs more rehabilitation. I have two thoughts. I don't love either one. Because the more rehabilitation, give him another 6 years. Like this guy's there now forever, 50 years.
He got the rehabilitation.
And he got it. And he said the right things. Like, yes, Daniel.
I was sort of saying, like, if a person actually found a place where he's so content and he's so okay in the world, how could you possibly rip him away from that? I would think that when it comes to a point in himself where he himself realizes he's lacking something and he's not content, then you could rip him away from that. Then he's saying, I will leave. But if he's not saying that, then You can't rip a person.
And we let him stay. And we let. But what? There's something so sad. There's clearly like a sad tragedy here. This guy says, "I love my wife," and he has his wrong wife. There's a tragedy being happening in front of our eyes. The Torah is like speaking this out. I picture the guy, my wife. Like, I don't want to leave them. Picture his real wife, and he has a real wife. He says, I love my wife. Anybody here is like, shoot. Like, I get it. Like, hello. Like, I love my kids. I don't want to leave. You have kids all waiting for, been waiting for years. I in yeshiva, Daniel, guys create beautiful friendships. One of the things I love, and I've seen this here, guys are about to go home. So many guys in yeshiva have a 6-year-old sister, a 9-year-old brother who like excited he comes home. And I love when guys learn to be present to that. Now, a lot of times with friendship and good feelings, they bring it home to their brother and they become something to him. That's like the dream. Now, Daniel's right. What you're saying is true. How can we rip him away? Like, he found comfort. The question is, could he extend?
And I think the only time he could do that is if he himself comes to a place where he realizes I'm capable of being independent. Like, he's realizing that there's a place that I can be a giver. Like, I'm lacking something in this situation. If he doesn't feel like he's lacking something in this situation, he's not going to bring it out into the rest of the world.
Yeah,
it's
just
going to be resentful.
I wish it was just 7-6 more years. I wish the Torah says, that's why I want to like study what, if Hashem said, you know what, take another 6, I'd be so happy. But Hashem says, drill him in the air, and now there you will stay. Is he just not capable? Is he like, what happened here? I don't know. Like, give him another year, give him a file, a little extension, you know, he needs some more rehab. I don't know. I don't know, Daniel. Hashem is this. It's so beautiful and so. This is our life. It's so like clear like this. He goes and his experience gives him every good love in the world. But he says layetze chavshi. Now somehow Hashem says if you can't extend it, so this is where you'll stay.
Also, obviously it's supposed to be an extension because if he wasn't married before then, it's not allowed. So the fact that he was they only allow it if he's married before then, it shows that it's meant to be an extension after his free aunt is what?
Is that the part of why they only allow it again? Because the whole
maybe
part
it
is
doesn't
to
say, Hashem doesn't say.
The only
if
is
the
to
point is... So
like
then it makes sense.
Beautiful
understanding. That the point was to extend it. That's why it only was allowed if you had a wife and kids. You hear this, Avi? Now... You hear this sugya though? This, what he says, this is clear to me that he says, Ahavtias Adonias Ish Rabbanai, the dream of every human being is to say those words. I love my Abba. Abba Sashem, the love of his Adon is the dream of every human being. And being an Eved brought him to this. The Svasemes, I know, says, Ahavtias Ish Adonias Ish Rabbanai was the dream, and Le'etze Chavshi is the problem. I don't want to go free. That's like the problem. He got stuck. He was brought somewhere and he got stuck there. There's a Shari Tshuva who describes a person put in prison and then doesn't leave prison. And the einish of that, there's people get comfortable. I was listening to a song with some bachim last night in the car on the way back from skiing of people getting stuck in the trauma, in the difficult situation that really was designed to bring him places. And you could get stuck there and comfortable in that miserable place, or in that miserable place, in that interim place that was only designed to give him something that would help to bring him. The Le'etze Chavshi is something we all can relate to. That I don't want to leave, I'm too scared to move forward. I'm scared to bring this into my life. I don't want to go free. I'm here and I'm stuck in this. The going free is the going forward. Bring it with.
You know what?
Bring it with. So I wanted to share this. I think it's of supreme relevance in all our lives. I could think of so many, I could think of examples of things we learn along the way that not to be afraid of letting go, but bringing with. Bring it with, extend it. This guy, you had such a safe, secure place. but he can learn something from it. He can learn his deeper adin from this. He can. So was secure and what and was comfortable. You could have it deeper and more. You could have it in a more authentic way, if you will. If you're just willing to, you can have it more authentically. So that's the parasha. I could see just many instances where somebody can have something in a deeper way. Thank you so much, Avesi.
What are you saying? What's, hey up, bro. Dared me.
I've given this example in yeshiva before. I've told the Chevra that for many years I davened Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur by my Rebbe. And the davening was like amazing. I loved it. And then came a time, my wife and I had to be in a Biker Cholim house for Rosh Hashanah. And I had to go to a minyan. It didn't have the chazan. It didn't have any of the aspects that I craved in my Rebbe's Rosh Hashanah. And I thought it was going to be the worst Rosh Hashanah of my life. And then, like, after, like, thought and worked, it was one of, like, the great Rosh Hashanahs of my life. Because what I had was Rosh Hashanah wasn't my Rebbe's voice. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Kirbis Hashem, an exciting day of Malchus Shemayim. And my Rebbe was an assistance to get to a place, but you could have the thing itself. The youngster, all of us, the youngster, the first Purim, he's married. Purim's his friends and drunk, and he doesn't have that. He freaks, but maybe all of that, it was wonderful what you had, but all of that is you learn something. Maybe you could take that with you and extend it. All of that friendship, a big part of Purim is friendship. Amalek is about pirud, is about separating. Nif am echad, and all of a sudden he has a wife. Maybe he could take Purim to his home. But we have many, many versions of le'etzei chafshi, I won't go free. What I've had and where I'm brought, I just get stuck there and I don't want to leave that. We have many, many versions of le'etzei chafshi. So I'm very moved by this scenario. I relate to it well. I think many of us can relate to it. I'm working on the part, and I don't know pshat. Daniel is right. At the point he doesn't feel ready, there he has to stay. I'm assuming what the message of that, v'avadei l'olam is Yehuda, I don't have a pshat. Somebody comes up, I'd love to hear. But I do hear the svasemis le'etzei chafshi, and how many of our experiences, if we would but let it, could bring us further, we have to let it to go further. So that's what I first wanted to share. We're not going to be zeicha to be together for a Leil Shishi, so we'll see if we'll share a little more. What time are the buses, Shlaima?
5:30?
So we have Bensi. First, let's do Vesecha Zena. Come. Bensi, come forward, come. Hold on, Shlaima will do it with you. Mayor, do you sing the Sechazena also?
I don't know if I know it.
That's that. Sit next to your brother. Give him coffee. No cowbox to say.
Mayor's got it.
Shlaima, do you know it?
No.
Yeah, do you know the Vesecha Zena?
Yeah.
La 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 what song did you want now?
Stunning, by the way. Thank you. It's really great choice. Shlomo, thank you. That was gorgeous. Nice, Martha.
Fire
I want to share one more vart for before we say good Shabbos to each other. There's a vart from Reb Tzadok HaKohen that we learned together in Camp Sulam. We all heard this vart together in Camp Sulam. A Rav spoke. He shared this Reb Tzadok HaKohen that I want to share with the Chevra on this Parshas Mishpatim. Now, if somebody would ask me, what's the possibility? What can I get in Waterbury? What can I get in the yeshiva there? So one of the things that would be high up on my list to answer is the possibility of honesty. That doesn't mean a guy walks here and is honest. It means we all have the possibility and slowly of becoming honest. We don't reject falsehood because we have that in us. We don't make fun of somebody who's not being real. We all have that in us. We want a journey towards real, to get more honest. I've given the example here, and we all have this in different ways in our life. I have seen many guys avoid sports in yeshiva, and they give all different reasons. There's too much arguments. They give all different reasons, and the real reason is they're afraid, they're insecure. It's a tough place in the gym, and it's not easy, and they're running away from their own feelings, their own, and it's easier to lie in bed. You go in the gym, somebody might cut you for next. I spoke to a bachur in yeshiva, and we both decided his next step of shteigen, he's going to start to play ball in the gym. And he knows if you don't try, nobody yells you. He's going to get yelled at by somebody. Somebody's going to steal his spot for next. Somebody's going to say something for missing a shot. But he's going to put himself out there and work through and process. And there's so many, I've spoken about in yeshiva, but in softball, this like gets me a lot. In softball, before the game, everybody is good. People throw the ball around. Kimat everybody's a good catcher in softball. Just too easy. They're relatively easy to catch. And before the game, guys love throwing around baseballs and everybody catches it. Then comes the game and there's like a high fly pop. It's in the air way too long and a guy fails it on a bounce. And it makes me crazy that it's not caught. Why didn't the guy catch it? And the guy before knows how to catch, and the answer is he's playing it safe. If he goes for that ball, he could look bad. Sometimes it will bap him on the head. Sometimes he'll make a bad play. You field it on a bounce, you look good. But you're lying to yourself. You're dishonest. And you field it on a bounce. You don't look bad. Life's good. You lose the game and move on. I made a yeshiva that you don't field it on a bounce. Go try catching it. It will bop you in the head sometimes. I wanted to make a color war in the yeshiva. I promise I could have played it safe. Because you make a color war, a lot of people were leaving. Teenagers might not want to bring it. it was relying on a lot of people really caring and bringing it, and it was easy. It was like coming to an off, so I could have played it safe. You think we should, even in making a color, instead I said to myself, Daniel, put yourself out there, and it might flop. If you say, I want a good color, and you bring it, make teams, activities, we rented a gym, we got archery, we're doing it. Now you're much more open. If you just bring it half baked, okay, so you just then, you're simply like, okay, I wasn't trying. No, I'm trying. No, I'm trying, and if it flops, I flop. And I was willing, Baruch Hashem, it worked, and many times when you do that, sometimes it will hit you on the head, by the way, the ball. But I want a place of honesty. I want it, and so we're going to go after it. I'm not going to pretend. And by the way, that guy who goes, but the possibility of Waterbury is a possibility of honesty if a guy wants. We all create narratives in our life. We create narratives. I loved yesterday, Yisrael Winter was skiing and it was very good. I loved it. It was very, very big to me. He's an excellent basketball player, and it's easy to say, I'm not this, I don't do this. That's just a way of protecting uncomfortableness. No, I'm going to try that. I like that he was skiing and it's really, really good. And I like putting yourself out there and trying and doing and not locking yourself in a really exploring. As a youngster, I used to say that I don't like machshava and Kabbalistic type things. And a lot of that was my own fear. I didn't know those things. So I just was going what was safe. And you just say, I'm not that. Maybe, how do you know you're not that? You don't know. Try, see, explore, check it out. Put yourself out there. Go feel that baseball. Don't lock in. Don't lock in. I want to say, Revezi is one of my best friends. I have tremendous hana that in the world, we're together. He's exploring the world of, and he always says, and Hasidus teach it to me. And he always says, we're both like this government. If he likes the Divrei Torah, so great. And we're both like open to exploring a world that we don't know, that we don't pretend, and we just want to see if we understand, if it's explained, if it makes sense. But that willingness to field the ball, and you're going to get bopped on the head, but the willingness to try to field the ball, to try to get it, not to be afraid. I like, Revezi, when different times you've said, I like that word. There's not a sheet in that. I want to work, but like open to not knowing, open to be taught new. I've seen that. I've seen that in Revezi. I like that a lot. Because that's all of success. Now, the honesty, the willingness to not know, the willingness to begin, the willingness to be in difficult circumstances, the possibility of Waterbury is an honesty. It's a world, the guys have created a very honest space, and people cannot be, could just be willing to roll up this thing, be honest. People talk about the yeshiva's into emotions. I don't consider it it's not like into emotions. It's just how honest are you? How willing are you to be honest? And we're human with human frailty. Don't be afraid to be honest, to dig in. There's a Reb Tzadok HaKohen in Parshas Mishpatim that I think's electric. It speaks about the deeper things inside of us that we'll all notice and are true. The Reb Tzadok said as follows.
No.
The pasuk says, "Kol amana v'yasam loisanu." Be very, very careful not to pain an almana and a yasam. An almana is a lady who doesn't have a husband. A yasam, somebody who lost parents. And it says, "Be very careful not to pain an almana and a yasam." Now, here's the tricky pasuk, Tzviki. When it says not to pain an almana and yasam, it says, "Im anesana oisa." If you pain them. Kiyim tzak yitzak, and they scream, Shamaya Eshma, listen, tzakase to his cry.
What?
So it says, don't pain almana v'yasim, because if you pain them, and they scream, I'll listen when they cry. Now clearly the pasuk, anybody who ever learned this pasuk noticed the redundancy. What in the world is this? Pain them, they scream, I'll listen to their cry. What's going on? What?
What?
Hashem's saying, don't do it because I'm going to hear when they cry.
Why? Because you'll pain them.
Right. But Hashem just, it's saying, it's a good point. That's a good point. But it's telling a person, be very careful. Because when you pain them, they will cry and I will listen. So Hashem's threatening. I hear why you need that threat. Just don't pain them. But Hashem says, just know their cry is very, very powerful by me. That I think that the cry of an Alman and Yasim is very powerful by Hashem. So extra zahirus. If you pain them and they scream, I'll listen. I like what you ask, like, why does it need that? That has to be an oimik. It's not just scare tactic. What's the oimik of that? Is a very good question. But what is here, this double lashon? Fair question. If you pain, and they scream, I'll listen. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen that when you pain an almana, you're causing, not only is she feeling the pain of what you pain to you, she loses her husband again. Which is just the reality. When you pain her, she has pain. Because she says to herself, this indignity, Rabbi Teitelbaum told us that he had almanas by him. He told us this, Rav Tzadok. And he said he had almanas by him for a Shabbos, and he didn't put soap in the bathrooms or something. He made a mistake. And people were like very upset. And he was wondering, like I didn't put soap. And he said he felt that any like lessening, he did make a mistake, they needed soap. But the sense that I'm not taken care of invoked that I lost my husband. I don't have my husband here. If I would have my husband, I'd never be in this predicament. So it brought up a little pain brings up that pain. And with an almana and a yasim, a little pain is not just a little pain, it's this pain which brings up the deeper pain. If I would have a father, they literally, in a small pain, you're making him lose his father again. So that's why, said Reb Tzadok, if you pain them, your pain which evokes a deeper pain, and they scream, the scream of this that's really a scream of a deeper pain, I'll listen, I hear this loss, and I'll listen to that loss as well. Hashem hears the deeper cry and listens. So that's what Tzadok HaKohen said is this double lashon. Both the vart of understanding how others work and understanding our own, what's going on deeper in ourselves, looking for the deeper thing that's going on in ourselves is just so vital to successful living, both in terms of treating others. In terms of treating others in many, many aspects, if a person has some deeper pain and deeper thing, and you touch it, you're evoking and bringing up that, and being aware both on others and inside of ourselves, the deeper things going on. Somebody's upset about something. Is there a deeper upset that you're upset about? That's what the pasuk is referring to here. Says Rav Tzadok. I think the Vard itself is pretty remarkable, and obviously the words of Hashem are true. I hear that kasha a lot. But what I want to say, and what precious to me about this Vard is the possibility of knowing our own selves, what's going on deeply inside of ourselves. I think that's vital to successful, healthy living. I think one of the things we're zeichet to here is that we can ask ourselves honestly what's going on. What's happening deep inside, how many times we're insulted by something and there's something deeper going in. I have seen people, there's nothing wrong with being a sensitive person. Nothing wrong. There are people that all have sensitivities. Either we can deny the sensitivities, and often we're so sensitive because of something missing in here. And if we trace it, we can learn the source of things. People show up as the one who's never noticed and never seen and never gets time. And often there's something inside of the person themselves that they can actually correct and heal and help if they're honest with themselves, if they look deeply in and they begin a sugya of working. If we want to be dishonest, we can spend a life, again, ignoring things inside and only living outside of ourselves. Akiva Balzum spoke this past Shabbos, and he was just so accurate. There are people that have a victim mentality. Wherever they go, and there's a reason they got this, but they'll show up to be a victim. And they'll notice there's always people not... I thought you were telling us that. There are people who show up with a victim mentality, and wherever they go, they'll reaffirm that as if it was outside of themselves. Something's happening inside of themselves. Whatever they feel about themselves, that they could show up different and not have such a way of something inside of themselves, they're showing up with something. Well, this is just deep honesty of looking within. And this pasuk that describes the world within a person, the anasana, the pain. Now, certainly such a person could grieve and has to grieve. Their deeper pain has to be in touch. So both affects how we behave towards somebody else, understanding these things, and affects a lot how we behave to ourselves, knowing the deeper things going inside of us, I think, are a huge part of successful living. I think it's something we've all learned here and are learning here and are trying to tap into. I think there's a very successful life that we can live and accomplish when we have this honesty. So I wanted to share that in the parsha. The truth is, it's funny that we're learning Bava Kamma this year. To really mishpatim, we should have the whole yeshiva for the week learn mishpatim. I advise, guys, if you can, learn the parsha. So many of the sugyas we're learning, Bar and Bava Kamma is in Parshas Mishpatim, so many sugyas, that the sugya of Shur, Bar, of Eish, so many sugyas that we're learning in Bava Kamma are in this parsha. It's extremely kedai to study the parsha. Some years we've gone over and learned some of these sugyas. I didn't do it necessarily this year, but I do advise guys to try to learn the parsha Yolchazer, different sugyas in Bava Kamma that are kedai. So that would be kedai. Let's Shloima close at one Shabbos song. Which song do you want to do, Yehuda? Obviously.
What?
Zum Bishamra.
Yeah.
Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Adar. What song do you want? Utsu Eitza, let's go. People think he's a dark guy. He's the only
What'd
you say?
Did we get drunk on
I'll tell you pray. Shlomo, we want to do the yeshiva trip again. You were at the hospital, we have to do it again with Shlomo. Yeah? Thank you, Shlomo. Should we do it again this time in Vermont or same place? This is cool. This might be cool. Mark walks hours, right side them the Kavshalay. I want to
go to Magic.
Going back to
Mall? Maybe.
When is it? Color War and Mall?
The longer the drive, the better.
What song are you doing? Who said the longer the drive?
You're saying Utah. You're saying Utah. Yeah, interesting.
Shlomo, what song are you about to do?
Which one? I'm trying to figure out the
lyrics. So it's a Maurice Samoa.
Which one? No?
No, I mean, I don't know how to play it.
Beautiful. I need the back shoot.
Amazing. Wow.